say Henrik's head is getting harder, mine's getting softer. Gonna have to maybe not do headbutts so much anymore. I want to get CTE and come up here. Be an interesting sermon. It's good to see everyone out this morning. You don't even have to turn to Daniel chapter 8. We're going to switch gears up a little bit. It's the Christmas season. It's my favorite time of the year. It's also Mariah Carey season. A lot of you all have probably known that. We've had Mariah Carey memes right before Halloween. They start breaking them out earlier and earlier. Mariah Carey, of course, is probably known for reinvigorating the Christmas music genre with her 1994 version of All I Want for Christmas Is You, and that's what it did. It sort of redefined Christmas music, so much so that a couple of years ago, Mariah Carey decided that she was going to trademark the term the Queen of Christmas. That's pretty good, right? It was denied, however, and that's probably a good denial. There's another lady, and her name is Elizabeth Chan, and all she does is record Christmas music, and that's a different kind of monster, right? But a monster all the same, and she was very vocally, and I don't mean any puns intended with that, against Mariah Carey making this claim on the Queen of Christmas. Not for herself, of course, but here's what she said. She said that Christmas is the season of giving, not the season of taking, and it is wrong for an individual to attempt to monopolize or nickname or have a nickname such as the Queen of Christmas for the purpose of abject materialism. Yeah, well, good for Elizabeth Chan, right? That's pretty good. Telling Mariah Carey, more or less, you're kind of being a little bit extra, right? And we could probably say that about a lot of things with Mariah Carey and her music in and of itself. It's just not good enough to sing it, right? She's got to go a little bit more. She's got to sing it a little bit higher. She's got to have a little bit more extra personality. And typically when we use that term extra in that context, it just means somebody's being a little bit too much, right? But I think sometimes the idea here that I realized is there are some things that you can't have too much of, right? I would imagine good looks is one of those things. I have to imagine that, but I do imagine that you couldn't have too much good looks. Maybe some people would say money, that you can't have too much money. But I think we would have others argue that would say, yeah, you probably could have too much money. But I think one thing that we can all agree on is that you can always have extra blessing, or you can never have too much blessing, I guess would be another way of starting or saying that. So we are going to leave Daniel behind, at least for the foreseeable future, and go back to another story that's told for the last 2,000 years, and it's a story that's going to continue to keep being told. It's a story of extra blessings. And again, this morning we're going to look at all the different kind of blessings, extra blessings that I think that we can take away from this story, this ancient life-changing story that's going to continue to be told, whether it's through newspapers or radios or podcasts. This story is going to continue to be told as long as there are human beings still on this earth. It's the story of Jesus, and the story of Jesus begins with a very unnatural birth. But what we forget is really it's two unnatural births that occur. And so we're real familiar with Mary and Joseph and what goes on there. Maybe we don't focus as much on Zechariah and Elizabeth and their unnatural birth that really sort of kicked off or kick-started this whole story. And so that's where we're going to start. Zechariah and Elizabeth, it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, that these are the days of Herod, king of Judea. There was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. So in just a few verses, we learn at least three things about Zechariah and Elizabeth there. First, we learn that they are good people. That's what it says, right? That they are righteous in God's eyes. They were faithful to God. And I think that part sort of impresses me about this because they're going against the normal swing of Israelite history. Now we've came to a point for about 400 years, God has been silent. We have no recorded prophecies, no recorded speakings from God. For almost 400 years, God has been silent in the history of Israel, and we know for Israel, it does not take 400 years for the people to fall away from God, right? Sometimes it can be the next night, so to speak. If you read through the Old Testament and you read about the different kings that come along, sometimes a good king will show up, and it'll say that they've destroyed all the altars of the different gods, of the Ashtaroth, and then it'll tell us that another son takes the kingship, and what does he do? He goes back and he builds all those same shrines that his father had tore down. So it doesn't take 400 years. It just takes a generation. Everything turns so quickly. And again, 400 years has passed. God has not spoken to his prophets. He has given no dreams or visions. God has been silent. And yet we're told here Zechariah and Elizabeth have been faithful. They're good people. And I think that's the first thing we can learn there. The second thing we see is they're old, right? Scripture says that they're both advanced in years. I don't guess that tells us exactly how old they are, but they're beyond the age of childbearing. And so they're beyond the age of parenting. I would say they're probably around the age of grandparents. And that's not what they are either, right? But they're not grandparents either. And so I don't really know what age we want to put on them, but what we see from the Bible that they are advanced in years, which I think then takes, and I'll use a little bit of liberty here, but I think that Zechariah and Elizabeth are probably relatively sad people. And I think the reason I say that is that their culture, there were few burdens that were harder to bear than that of the burden of barrenness. It's tough in our culture, right? Whenever someone is barren, whenever maybe they're not able to conceive, whether it's biological or something else with whatever that situation is, it's a difficult cross to bear today. In their culture, it's even heavier in some ways, partly because of this whole idea of inheritance, this whole idea of passing on to the next generation is so ingrained in this Hebrew culture. It's what most people are living for, really, is to pass on something to the next generation. They weren't living for themselves. They were living for the next generation, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, they don't have that, right? But also, it's sort of an understanding that we can have as well. We think about our woes about Social Security and about what the government should or shouldn't do with the money that we've paid in for so many years. But they didn't have anything like that. What they had were kids, really. That was their sort of social security net. What was that they just had children who would take care of them when they were old. The same way as parents, they took care of their children when they were babies. And if you couldn't have kids, you were cursed by God. That's just how they understood it. Now, there is absolutely nothing in the verses that we've read about Zechariah and Elizabeth that tells us that there is any merit to the idea that these two are cursed by God. In fact, it tells us that they are faithful. They are good people. And yet, they are still sad. And that's a reality that we all know, isn't it? Bad things happen to good people. You know that. You've lived that. We've lived a life of saying, I'm a good person, I'm faithful, and yet these bad things, they still happen. The things that make me mad or make me sad. But the reality is this is what it looks like to live life, right? We can relate to Zechariah and Elizabeth pretty well. We can often be sad kind of people. But even though they haven't heard from God in their whole lifetime, Israel hasn't heard from God in a really long time, Zechariah and Elizabeth are still faithful. That they're still serving God. So I guess before we continue, just to give you a little bit of a background about what's going on here behind the scenes with this text. During the time of King David, what David did is he divided the priests up into different groups, sort of into clans, if you want to think about it that way, that would serve at the Lord's temple at a certain time. Basically, what happens is there becomes too many priests for everyone to serve in the temple. It would have been chaos. And so David separates them into these clans, and these clans would take 2 weeks out of the year, and they would serve in the temple. And that sounds like a pretty good gig, doesn't it? You work for 2 weeks and you get 50 weeks off. That's not exactly what's going on here. There were some other priestly duties that were happening all throughout the year. It was a pretty rigorous job all throughout the year. But for 2 weeks out of the year, your clan was part of the hands-on crew in the temple, doing all of the things that happened in the temple. And this was a highly respected time. They really wanted to honor God during their week of service. And again, there's lots of things to do, but one of the most coveted positions of this time was to take the incense into the holy place and burn the incense on the altar there before God. And it is something that everybody wanted to do. So much so that they had to devise sort of almost like a lottery system, sort of a way of drawing someone's name out who was going to do this job. And in this particular week, it's Zechariah that is chosen. And I guess I just want you to press upon you that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Zechariah isn't getting a do-over here. If you're chosen, there's enough people in your clan that you're only going to get to do this one time. And this is Zechariah's week, and he's in the sanctuary, and he's doing his job of burning the incense. And then in verse 11, it tells us there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, again, nobody but Zechariah should be in the temple. It's one of those kinds of places. This is why it's highly coveted. You get to go into the nearness of God, where God's cloud has filled, that we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. There are so many things happening. You get to go in there and perform this ritual, and you have to go through some different things to be considered to be clean enough to go in there. You've got to have your name pulled from the lottery so you can go in there. All of these things are going on just to have this ability to appear there, to burn the incense of God. And there at the right is someone who should not be there, right? There should be no one there. And as we talked about with the writing on the wall a few weeks ago, this would terrify us if this happened, right? And Zechariah is no different. He's overwhelmed with fear because here's a person where there shouldn't be a person, and this angel introduces himself. He basically says, I'm Gabriel. And last week we talked about Gabriel when Gabriel spoke to Daniel. This would have been something that Zechariah would have been familiar with. He would have been familiar with the story of Daniel. He would have recognized this angel, his name is Gabriel, as the same who spoke to Daniel. And this angel announces that they're going to have a son. And he goes on to say that the son is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in the womb, which is a really cool thing. But I guess the question is sort of, how does this work? How does, in the womb, is John going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He's going to go on and he's going to receive a special assignment to make straight the paths for the Messiah. Again, after centuries of silence, God is about to make his most redemptive move to date, and the very first person to hear about it is Zechariah alone in the temple. God sort of rolls back the curtain of his plan, and he says, Zechariah, are you ready for this? Because you are going to be part of my plan. The hopes and the dreams that the prophets have foreseen, that have been telling about, this Messiah is coming, and you're going to be a part of it. All the Israelites were saying, maybe the Messiah will come in my lifetime. The anticipation is high. And here Zechariah gets to see behind the curtain. And it's the same angel that talked to Daniel, talked to plenty of other people throughout Scripture, comes to Zechariah and he says, you need to be ready because it's starting with you. How would you receive this? How would Zechariah receive it? This is a promise with personal significance, right? He's going to have a son. What he's longed for, what he's waited for, however many years, personal significance. There's national significance. This is what the prophets have been talking about. There's certainly worldwide significance. This Messiah that is going to be introduced, this Messiah is for the whole world. And not just for the Hebrews. And Zechariah knows this. So how is he going to respond? We go to verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. You can tell that Elizabeth isn't here, right? He wouldn't have said that if she was in the room with him. But you'll notice a little bit of humor, I think, in what Gabriel does. It's funny. Zechariah asks the angel for a sign. How can I be sure that this is going to happen? And so he asks the angel for a sign. And you got to kind of laugh a little bit, because I'd probably do the same thing, right? I'd want to know from the angel, what's the plan? What's the idea? But I like what Gabriel says. He says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you the good news. Gabriel is like, the fact that I'm standing before you is your sign. But if you want another sign, I'll give you one. And it sort of goes back to, be careful what you ask for, right? Because since you didn't believe maybe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Some of us may be wishing that that would happen to somebody that we know and love, right? Maybe let's get straight to the invitation. That maybe that's where we're all out. But also on the outside, all the people are waiting. Something's going on. Maybe this has taken a little bit longer than usual. And so Zechariah has been having this conversation with Gabriel, and those people don't know that. But he comes out of the temple and they're all ready to ask questions because something has happened. And maybe he starts having to play a game of charades with them. And they don't know what that game is, but they're figuring out something has happened inside the temple. Something amazing is going on, and he's just trying to communicate that the best he can. And so a few things I think we can take from that is first, is that you can be faithful and yet not always be full of faith. And I think that's a big point for us, because sometimes whenever we feel our faith is lacking, sometimes we think maybe I'm dishonoring God with my lack of faith. But I think you can be faithful and yet not always be full of faith. The thing is, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they would have known the story of Abraham and Sarah, right? They were very old. We know that story. Abraham and Sarah were very old when God promises to give them a son. And it was sometime later that they had this son, and the whole nation of Israel would be born through him. Zechariah and Elizabeth know this story. They looked at what God had done in the past and were amazed, but Zechariah and Elizabeth are a whole lot like we are now. Like we can look past the marvel of what God has done in the past, but we find it almost inconceivable to consider that God would ever do that today or for any of his people today. They were faithful, but they lacked faith that God could actually work for them in that day. And sometimes that's me. And sometimes I think that's you. It's that there are many times that we are faithful, but we lack the faith that God can actually do something in this day and age. Especially when we feel like God has been silent. And God has been silent for so long. But for Zechariah and Elizabeth, they keep showing up to the temple. They keep obeying the commandments. They keep on singing the songs. They keep their faith that whenever they weren't full of faith, they were still sure of what God would be able to do. That they kept the faith alive. But when God showed up to answer their prayers, they questioned that, right? And we still do today too. We need the encouragement. We need the extra blessing. We need the extra faith from this story. This that the world calls the Christmas story from Zechariah and Elizabeth's perspective, so that we can wrestle in those times of silence. Extra faith believes that God will answer every prayer at the right time and in the right way. I may be faithful, but I need some extra faith to help in my lack of faith. Whenever I wonder, can God really answer this prayer? The extra faith says, yes, he can. And he will at the right time and in the right way. Because you know, if you've walked with God long enough, you may not get exactly what you want when you want it, but faith says God's going to give it to you when you need it. And God answers every prayer. This may be where I disagree the most with the great American theologian Garth Brooks. When he said, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers, because I don't believe there's any such thing as unanswered prayers. Because sometimes the answer is no, right? Sometimes we don't get a clear yes or no. And sometimes we get in the silence. Sometimes we interpret that as no, but it might be just a not yet. And it takes a little bit of extra faith to walk with God in that silence of questioning. Is your silence saying no, God? Or is it simply saying not yet? And we need some extra faith to recognize that God will answer every prayer at the right time and in the right way. But extra faith helps us in the silence. Faith recognizes that God still surprises us in the ways that he demonstrates his faithfulness. It's still surprising how God works, as it was for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Again, they knew the story of Abraham and Sarah. This was something God has already done in the past. This is not a new miracle that God is doing or saying, hey, I know you guys are old, but you're going to have a baby. They could have looked and said, yeah, God has done this before. Let's do it again. But it surprises us too. Whenever God decides to do something in our time, sort of what he did in theirs, and sometimes God still surprises us in different ways. What many view as the Christmas story is full of those surprises. Again, God's been silent for so long, and then an angel shows up, not just speaking to a prophet, not just speaking to some inspired voice to keep him going along on behalf of God. He's just talking to a regular guy, and he sends his angels. And this hadn't happened in a long time. In a culture that would often dismiss the old, God starts with two old people. And in a culture that often dismisses women, God uses two women, one an old woman, one a really young woman, to have leading roles in this story. That's probably not how you and I would have planned this story out, because we like to work within our boxes of how God should work, right? He should work how we work within our boxes. And so it's not just that he did an amazing thing that was outside of the box during that time. It's that he still does. He still does things that don't fit inside any boxes. God's still going to surprise us in the ways that He is willing to answer our prayers and to demonstrate to us His faithfulness. I think that right there should fire us up a little bit more about our prayer life. Asking God, inviting God to do something amazing, something that I may not be able to conceive about how you could work this out in my mind because it's limited to that box, right? My prayer should be, Lord, can you work outside of my box? And then He always does, right? And when He does, sometimes it feels weird and maybe it gets a little bit strange. It's the same idea in some ways that an angel shows up. That's got to be a little bit weird. That's going to be a little bit strange, but it's still good because extra faith recognizes God still surprises. One more thing before we finish up, I think it's important for us to understand, is God uses this experience, this revelation to this old couple as a demonstration for a young couple about how God can work in this time. So not very long after this, this same angel appears to Mary and announces, Mary, you are going to be pregnant. And this is the same Mary who's a virgin. She's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum of Elizabeth. Elizabeth has been trying to have a baby so long, she's probably given up hope. Mary is pregnant and hasn't even tried. Mary is so far removed from that whenever the angel says, hey, by the way, you're going to be pregnant, she's sort of like, that can't be, right? That's not how this works. How does this angel help define this? Well, you look at verse 36. To help Mary understand what's going on, the angel says, behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is in the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. In other words, what is happening is that the angel Gabriel is using the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth to help Mary understand that God is blessing her too. And sometimes blessings require extra faith because God can do some pretty amazing things. The whole idea here is God sometimes wants to use the divine encounters of other people to encourage you to keep praying for a divine encounter yourself. Because extra faith declares God can do anything. There is nothing that God can't do that's within His will. I'm not saying that He's going to, right? That's His will. But extra faith declares that God can do anything. And God may surprise you with what He's willing to do when you are willing to ask and to be faithful. And I think one of the best parts of it is God can use people who are faithful, but they may not be necessarily full of faith. And so maybe the question for the sign, for the angel, we still ask with the angel staring us right in the eyes. We might still say, Lord, how can this be? And God doesn't ever shun them for that question. God doesn't ever say, oh, you have a little bit of faith. Get away from me. He says, you're faithful. I'll help fill in your lack of faith. I will give you reason to believe. This morning, some of you may be wrestling with the silence of God. Maybe God has been silent to you for too long, and you're wrestling with that. And so maybe you can take some encouragement from Zechariah and Elizabeth to remain faithful in the silence, no matter how long it lasts. Remain faithful, because this story of the birth of Jesus, it shows us that faithfulness really does matter. So keep on showing up. Keep praying. Keep singing. Keep serving. Keep the faith. And may you have a little extra faith to hold you through the times when it seems that your faith is lacking. And so this morning, if you find yourself in that kind of situation where your faith is lacking and the silence of God is almost deafening, maybe you need to come forward this morning and let the church surround you and pray for you. Maybe this morning you're ready to put Christ on in baptism. The waters are prepared for you to be brought down, to die to your old self, to be brought up to walk in the newness of life. Whatever your need may be this morning, please come as together we stand and we sing.